Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book.
Wow, this is such an honor to welcome to Joy on Paper, Michael Oren, who was the former ambassador to the United States from Israel, and it is so exciting to have him on the air. Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Wow, what a book. I am so excited about this book. It is called Swan's War. And, you know, I of course have loved all of your nonfiction books, beautifully written. And of course, you've been a New York Times bestseller author three times for your nonfiction books. But this new book is so much fun. A World War II mystery, and it's such an original idea. I just was enthralled when I got the book and enjoyed it so much as I was reading. And of course, remembering all of your nonfiction writing, I realized you put a lot of research into this. So tell us about Swan's War.
Well, first of all, thank you. You can't see that I'm blushing on the line. Those are lovely words. Thank you very much. This book is my fifth work of fiction. I'm not new to fiction, but it's a new genre for me. I've never written a murder mystery. I've never written a whodunit. It's a great challenge. You have to lead your reader down, you know, false alleys and cul-de-sacs. And when you find out who did it, then the reader can't be disappointed. The reader has to say to herself, oh, I should have seen that coming. And that is structurally, it's very difficult. Also, in terms of just the history writing, this book takes place on an island off the shore of Massachusetts, off the coast. It's an imaginary island. I made it up. So I had to know a lot about the geography of the area. It's a fishing island. It has cranberry farms on it. So I had to learn about cranberry farming and lobster fishing. And it takes place during the height of World War II. So I had to know what people ate, what they spoke, how they didn't speak a language like today. And I had to know about intricate things like the working of a 1941 Harley-Davidson motorcycle. Very, very challenging. And I was able to draw a lot on my skills as an historian, you know, doing research into these subjects. The plot focuses on a young woman by the name of Mary Beth Swan, hence the title Swan's War, who is a policewoman from South Boston. She's the daughter and granddaughter of Boston cops. And she's a policewoman at a time where life of a policewoman was not easy. They were referred to as women policemen. They didn't carry guns, they didn't walk beats, and faced a lot of obstacles and discrimination. Mary Beth Swan meets a young man, Archie Swan, who is the police captain of this island, Fourth Cliff. She moves to Fourth Cliff, works with him, but then when the outbreak of World War II, Archie is called up to serve with the Marines in the Pacific and leaves Mary Beth Swan in charge of the island, and she's not very well welcomed there. She's an Irish Catholic woman from South Boston. These are hard-bitten maritime Protestants, so she faces a tremendous amount of obstacles, but then the real problems happen. On the island are interned 90 Italian prisoners of war, and this actually happened in World War II. They were kept separate from German prisoners, and they were allowed to work. They worked in fishermen, they worked in agriculture, and one after another, these Italian prisoners are murdered. So Mary Beth Swan not only has to deal with loneliness, with hostility, she has to deal with a serial killer, a loose on Fourth Cliff Island.
So we have all this tension of World War II, knowing that her husband is far off in the Pacific, and as you said, the loneliness that she's feeling, the challenges of dealing with a bunch of islanders. And anybody who's ever been to one of these islands where people have lived there for years knows that it's not easy to fit in. But you have peopled this island with so many interesting characters and so many potential suspects. That's what makes the book so much fun. There are so many twists and turns. You're not sure. And you introduce the Italian prisoners of war. You know, most Americans don't realize that we had Italian prisoners of war, or that we even had German prisoners of war in the middle of Texas. All of that adds to the depth of the story and the excitement of what is going on during World War II here in America.
and great challenges that there's rationing, there's not enough labor, there's great insecurity. It's interesting that in Mary Beth carries on a correspondence with her husband, and letters reach her 3 weeks, 4 weeks late. So even the ability today where you pick up a cell phone and call people, back then getting a letter back and forth between the United States and the Philippines can take weeks. So a tremendous amount of uncertainty, the threat of German U-boats attacking the Massachusetts coast, and this actually happened. There was a U-boat attack on Nantucket only weeks before the end of World War II.
I'm here in Clearwater, Florida, and just off of our shores, we had U-boats. And again, young people don't learn history as much as they should, don't realize how very dangerous the situation was here in the United States and the things that we had to face.
And then there's prejudice. There's prejudice against, obviously, against African Americans, against Japanese Americans, but what's been largely overlooked was the prejudice against Italian Americans. And the same presidential order that allowed for the incarceration of tens and tens of thousands of Japanese Americans also allowed for the incarceration of Italian Americans. And as it says in the acknowledgments of the book, among those Americans were Joe DiMaggio's parents, because Italians also were suspect of being enemy aliens.
And so putting them on the island, I thought that was so clever. And of course, there's also a military installation of American military, which, of course, gave you some more characters to throw in the mix.
And many of those soldiers felt lucky that they weren't in the thick of combat. But others felt that they were forgotten. And they sat in these concrete bunkers with their 6-inch cannons, looking at the sea every day for days and days, weeks and months and years at a time. And they weren't happy about it. So you have two different types of soldiers, and you have those types in the book.
Idea of islanders. Again, some prejudice against the Italians who are right there in their backyard. Some of them, of course, are frightened of the POWs. They don't know, you know, what they could get up to. And others just want revenge for their children who were killed over in Italy.
And some of the Italian prisoners remain loyal to the fascists, to Mussolini. So they are divided even amongst themselves, which complicates the situation.
Your writing is so great, always been, even in your nonfiction, they read like a novel. And so you have this fantastic ability, lyrical, poetical, which I think comes from the fact that you got interested in poetry at a very young age.
Hey, I started writing poetry when I was 12, 13. I wrote my first poetry book when I was 13. I got my first poetry rejection slips when I was 13. But I did publish my first poem at 14 in 17 magazine. My claim to fame with poetry, but I still write poetry. It's a favorite genre of mine, but I write short fiction. I published a novel last year and a collection of short stories the year before called Night Archer, and I'm preparing now to finish my second collection of short stories.
Well, The Night Archer, I have to tell people that it is one of the best collection of short stories ever. And for my listeners, so many of them are interested in becoming writers, and they are always asking me for advice, I can tell them right now that they should read The Night Archer, because all of the stories, I think there must be about 50 or so in there, they are so good and so memorable. And the variety of them is one of the lines that I love about ghosts. Ghosts are not scary. People are scary. That comes from one of the stories, I think. And, you know, the whole idea of writing short stories, you know, just getting better at writing, you certainly accomplished that with The Night Archer.
Well, I think that, thank you very much. And again, so flattering. But I view short story writing as the haiku of fiction. And a short story writer has to do in 3 pages what a novelist does in 300 pages. So it's a tremendous discipline. And I love that the restrictions of short story writing. And getting, you know, saying what a novelist would say in 1,000 words, you say in 2. And it's a wonderful genre. It's a wonderful genre, and it very much speaks out of my soul. I would say to young people who are interested in writing, you know, when I was a young person, I started with fiction, then I went into nonfiction. Don't let anybody discourage you, because I had many people trying to discourage me the whole time. And if you know in your soul that you are a writer, don't stop. Be that writer.
when you went to Israel, did you ever realize that you were going to become a famous writer?
No, I did not. I had two dreams. One was to be a writer, and the other, believe it or not, was to be Israel's ambassador to the United States. It's a dream I had after meeting Israel's ambassador to the United States when I was a kid. His name was Yitzhak Rabin, who later became the prime minister, and I later worked for him as prime minister. So I made a vow at a very early age that that's what I wanted to be, and that's what I became. But it was a long journey. I had to go into the military, and I had to get a couple of degrees in Middle East history to teach it at various universities, Middle East history. But, you know, if you hold on to these dreams long enough, I think they can be fulfilled.
You certainly have done it. A few days ago, my guest on Joy on Paper was Stephen Hartov, of who you know. And we were talking about his book, The Last of the Seven.
Yes.
I was thinking, of course, about Israel and about what we've gone through. I don't know if you know that I've met you a couple of times, but I was just sort of in the background. Before I started this show, I was very shy. And I was the president of St. Petersburg Hadassah. And the reason I took that position, I really wanted to be the program director because I love setting up programs and doing that. But to have to do speeches. And I was shy in those days. I took the presidency because all I had to do was introduce the speaker. But I did get a chance to meet you, I think, at several APAC. And when I think about Israel, I think about what's going on, I often think about you and about your books. And I hope that people will read not just this wonderful book. Swan's War is a great read. Recently, I've discovered mystery books. They don't have enough suspects. And I like having a lot of suspects. And you've introduced also some other things into the book. When we're talking about Italians, a little bit of the mafia. So you've really created a fantastic book here.
Thank you. And I'll reveal a secret about the book. As I said before, this was my first foray into whodunit mystery writing. And three quarters of the way through the book, believe it or not, I didn't know who the culprit was. And so I was investigating these crimes along with Mary Beth Swan. And that was fascinating for me.
That's wonderful when that happens to you because characters take on their own life and you don't know for sure where they're going to take you.
I did not know. It was scary and exhilarating at the same time.
When somebody has studied poetry, I think that just helps their writing so much. The use of words, as you said, in a short story, you have to do it in three pages. In a poem, you have to do it in maybe a page. And you have to learn the importance of each word in your story.
It's the economy of language, but it's the ultimate economy of language. And what I do after I write a paragraph is go through with a red pencil and cut out half the words.
Sometimes the most difficult thing for an author, they start off and they can write 100,000 words. And it's always difficult for them to go back and realize, you know, I've got to hone that down to 85,000 words.
Right. But it's the same true with a paragraph. You got to hone it down. It's painful. It's like cutting off little parts of your body to cut off these words. But you have to do it because being concise is truly, it's an important tool for a writer. And you have to ask yourself, okay, can I get this same message across with one word instead of three words?
I always, with a mystery, I always hate to give it away because there are so many things in the story that are I also didn't know about, for example, about some, I don't know if I want to say it, about some cure, some medical research or whatever I want to call it. But I found that part, the doctor on the island and the work that he was doing, also fascinating.
Well, he's a doctor from a period in our history where people didn't have antibiotics. Penicillin hadn't just been invented. The medicine available for people suffering from psychological illnesses, mental illnesses, were almost non-existent, were very primitive, with terrible side effects. So among the issues I had to research was, the state of American medicine in the 1940s. Very different from today.
Of course, the research is so much fun. This is one of the things that people don't realize until they start writing, that when you think of one thing and then you research that, then something else pops up and you're led down paths that are really joyful to follow.
The challenge, I must say, I a confession, I loved writing this book from the very first word to the last. And it's something very different than anything I'd written. Usually my previous book was about a junior high school guidance counselor and football coach. It's called To All Who Call on Truth, a bit of a mystery in that. And it was set in 1972. I knew 1972 a little bit better than I knew 1944 because I lived through it. But it was a very Jewish book, and much of it took place in a synagogue. This is, what can I say, it's not a Jewish-centric book, though they're Jewish characters. And it enabled me to be somewhere and be someone in a different time than I could ever imagine. And for me, writing at base is about freedom. It's the freedom to be anywhere and anybody I want to be.
Well, that's why I think Night Archer is so great, because it has such a variety of stories, everything from aliens who declined to visit Earth, and prophets who dare to ask, is God funny? And of course, right. That book is very Jewish centric.
That's why I love short stories. So there were 51 short stories in Night Archer. Each one is completely different, really completely different. You have love stories and horror stories and adventure stories and historical stories. I can't tell you how much fun that is to write. So my next collection of short stories, which I don't even have entitled yet, but I'm finishing it, is the same. It goes through the whole gamut of genres. Now to be fair, it's also a challenge. Most short story writers write on a theme. They write about a town in Maine, or they write about the Vietnam War. What can I say? I can't restrict myself in that way. I want that freedom.
Certainly did it in The Night Archer, and I think it really should be required reading for anyone who's studying the short story, because it is an excellent example of going from, as you said, from genre to genre and hitting it out of the ballpark with each one.
For me, a story, and this is true of novels too, the story is composed of three elements. First of all is the story itself, which has to be interesting and to the reader and keep the reader engaged, but it's also the level of my experience. So if I have stories that talk about diplomacy, or I worked in Hollywood for a while, so it has the Hollywood, or a war story, these are drawing on my immediate experiences. But the third component, I think, is the most interesting. In each story, I want to say something about the human condition, something about reality. And so if it's a ghost story, I'm drawing on family lore. We have ghosts in my family. I'm keeping a story, hopefully an interesting story, about a particular ghost. But thirdly, I want to say something about the nature of redemption, the nature of sin, and memory. So each story, even though seemingly it could be two pages, is going to say all three things. That's the goal every time I sit down to write.
Well, your writing is beautiful. And as I said, with Swan's War, it is so refreshing in so many ways because it's an original idea. I don't get that many stories where the idea is absolutely original. A female police chief. In those days, it was unknown, and so it's intriguing, and you did it beautifully.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Again, I'm blushing through the line here. Thank you. It's wonderful.
Ambassador Oren, I'm so very honored that you were on Joy on Paper today. I love Swan's War. It is, of course, available online. And tell people your website.
The website is Ambassador Michael Oren.
Well, Ambassador Oren, it is an honor to talk to you. People, you will enjoy this book. It's a refreshing read in so many ways. You know, when you want a mystery, you want a lot of suspects, as I said, and we've got them here. And Ambassador, you've done a great job.
Thank you. Thank you again. A delightful interview. You made my day.
Okay.
Thank you
bye-bye
very much.
Bye-bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Shalom. What a day. The ambassador. Wow.
Bye-bye now.